The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
This is the one incident in the whole indictment where Donald Trump most flagrantly disseminates the information, where it's not just sitting in boxes in his bathroom or on the stage at Mar-a-Lago, which is bad, which is potentially criminal, but it's the one most flagrant incident where he's taking that information and giving it out to somebody. And that's why it's such an important and dangerous moment in this case.
That really fills in something that we've been wondering about for a while, because there were questions about whether he actually had a classified document, if he was just sort of embellishing, posturing. And then there were questions about whether the former president's legal team was able to find it and hand it over. So that's another really notable development in this new indictment.
It's a whole new scheme with now Dundee Oliveira, and it's very ham-handed. They really look like, two-bit criminals as opposed to anything, you know, more sophisticated. That's one. But Jack Smith does not bluff, because there's some downsides for him to bringing it now. And I think they came to him and said, look, we've got you with all these false statements. We've got you making these other obstructive acts. You better cooperate. And if you say no, we're bringing charges and we're bringing them quickly. And he said no, and they're bringing them quickly. And
this is a defendant who has almost no choice but to flip. He's looking at charges that have 20-year maximums, even though that's not the real-world sentencing. He's looking at spending a big chunk of time in prison if he goes forward. And it's the final charge against him, this charge where he goes in and talks to agents. They actually visit him in his home. They tell him that he's free to end the interview at any point in time. And then he just lies to them in a bald-faced manner about when the boxes and the items from Washington first come down to Mar-a-Lago. So they have him dead to center.
It was very mob-like.
It's all here.
It's all there. I mean, it reads like a spy novel. Like, you know, that's what you would do. You would try to get the IT guy to, you know, wipe out the video footage. I mean, it's just astonishing that this is what Trump wanted to do. He wanted to destroy evidence of a crime.
And I should note, though, Ryan, what I just said is obviously what somebody said.
Yes.
This is a little different than a text message. But when you add it together with what I just laid out, the dates, the timestamps, the text messages, is this black and white?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Black and white, for sure. They're even saying all these things with a nice smile. So giddy. Jack Smith to the rescue. Another Obama-directed misdirect. That's right. The heat was really turning up on the Biden crime family. The plea deal blew up. And then we're reminded that, hey, the investigation into Trump, it's broadening now. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the final show of the week. You can get to the live video stream of this program at our very own website. That's the Trumpet Daily, or actually just trumpetdaily.com. You can watch it every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. That would be noontime, high noon on the East Coast. You can also watch the live stream of this show at our Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble and search for The Trumpet Daily, and you can watch, you can join the live chatting, you can leave a Rumble, you can leave us the thumbs up, you can leave us a comment. And also, if you happen to be catching this final show of the week on Live from America, LFA, you should know that we're going to be joining LFA next week, starting August 1st. I believe we have the 9 p.m. Eastern time slot every weekday, so you can be looking for that. I believe Tuesday is August 1st. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. We'll start with another Obama distraction. I mean, even what's happening to the Bidens, that serves as a nice little distraction for Barack Obama and his treasonous activity and behavior as well. So you've got all of these fake, bogus charges on Donald Trump. You notice there from the montage, they're talking about what someone said, and now they've got these false statements. It's just like they did with General Flynn. Just let the investigation and all the interviews just continue on without end and try to catch them on a process crime. They really got the witness that they want now because they caught him on the date that the boxes got to Mar-a-Lago. So he's going to flip. He's gonna turn on Trump. And you just know he's obstructing justice. And then the footage. Notice they said there's now part of the indictment that's been updated. You should know it's ongoing. We've added arguments to it. Thirty-seven counts is not enough. We've got to put three or four more in there. And just so you know, Donald Trump might have asked a question about destroying the footage, the security cam footage. How rich is that? When the FBI raids Mar-a-Lago, they go in and start demanding that Trump turn off the security cameras. They're the ones that want to wipe out the record, not Donald Trump. There is no evidence. They like to say this, don't they? There's no evidence that anything was destroyed. To the contrary, Trump's people turned over something like 3 months worth of security footage. And you listen to these talking heads, these communists, the regime media, and they go on and on about a flagrant disregard of law. It's so flagrant. They finally got him dead to rights. Most people, as I said on yesterday's show, they don't know enough of the detail. They're not going to go in and read the indictment. They're not going to go and read the updated indictment to see what Jack Smith adds in as little goodies. And so they just sit there and they listen to these talking heads go on and on about lying. Just lying, basically. This is from, I gave this to you yesterday, but it's worth repeating. Satan has the power to conduct great evil and not only hide it, but then accuse others of committing it. We saw this with Obama's use of the deep state in general and the Mueller investigation specifically. And it cites here Revelation 2:24. I'll leave it to you to look at that later, about the depths of Satan. It says, it is an example of the depths of Satan that Jesus Christ warned about. You can prove the real purpose of the Mueller investigation, but Satan knows that if he makes it complicated enough to require deep study to understand it, most people won't dig into it, and he can deceive them. Most people, they're not even like those of us on this program or even those who watch it, you know, digging into the news a little bit at least. But most people, they don't even really pay attention much to the news. And so they're so easily deceived. Just go along with what these liars say. Every day they come up with, and considering the evidence that's there, I'll get to this in a moment, that's exposing the Biden crime family, the pay-to-play scheme, the bribery schemes. I mean, they're just turning over mountains of evidence. What will it take for one of those in the regime media to finally break ranks and say, you know what, I think we were selling out. I think we were establishing U.S. policy based upon how much money the Biden family was pocketing. These outrageous new charges, all of them just intended to take out the leading Republican candidate in opposition to Joe Biden. And all of this comes at a perfect time as far as Obama's concerned. Hey, let's get the focus off of the bribery scheme. Let's get the focus off the fact that Hunter's lawyers, together with the DOJ, went in and tried to fool this judge into slapping immunity, lifelong immunity, on all things Biden. Keep in mind, the immunity wasn't there just to protect Hunter Biden. It's meant to protect Joe Biden. Joe Biden was lying all those years saying that they never took any money from China. They took millions from China. We now know this. That's being revealed this week as well. They're trying to cover up the truth about this crime family that's heading up the country, that's working from the White House. It's an illegitimate administration. We know this. But still, they're there. They have the power. They control the DOJ. Obama certainly does. This is from the AP about the new charges now in the Jack Smith indictment against Trump. It says new charges and a new defendant added to the classified documents case against former President Donald Trump underscore how the Mar-a-Lago investigation is still very much ongoing. Did you get that? It's still ongoing. In fact, it's broadening. It says here, in an updated indictment handed down Thursday, prosecutors allege that Trump asked a staffer to delete camera footage at his Florida estate in an effort to obstruct the federal investigation into his possession of classified documents. Never mind, he might have asked someone. There's no direct quote. There's not even a reference to Trump. But he might have asked someone to delete footage. Can you believe this? Hillary Clinton actually smashed iPhones, computers. She actually deleted 33,000 emails that were under subpoena. She actually did delete evidence. Donald Trump, there's no evidence that he deleted anything. And he's not the only former president, by the way, who's sitting on thousands and thousands of classified documents. All of them do. All of them, that's why it's always a tug of war with the archives people, because they want to write their memoirs, they want to have some juicy tidbits, then they've got to run the memoir by the feds to make sure there's nothing too classified in there. Only Trump, though. It's a different standard for him. He moved a few boxes. There might have been a few dates that a helper of his got wrong. So let's try to flip him and really, really go hard after Trump. Let's add more. I mean, it's not just 37 felonies. There's all kinds. Maybe we could add another 100 years to his prison sentence. That's the way these people are thinking. It really is. I mean, you talk about the depths of the devil from the Federalist. It says here, Special Counsel Jack Smith, who turned a blind eye to Biden family corruption as the head of the Department of Justice's Public Integrity Section during the Obama administration. Think about this. For a moment, this was when Vice President Biden was receiving millions from China, from Romania, from Ukraine, and the government, Obama's DOJ, you mean they didn't know anything about it? Of course they did. And guess who was the head of the Department of Justice's Public Integrity Section? That would be Jack Smith. Turned a blind eye to the corruption of the Bidens. Not just now. I mean, going back to 2014, 15, 16. It says here, in addition to the 37 federal counts Trump is already facing, the DOJ announced it is charging Trump with one count of willful retention of national defense information based on the July 2021 Bedminster audio tape, which was already included in the original indictment. The department is also charging Trump with two new counts of obstruction for allegedly attempting to delete security footage. See, if he simply says, hey, what if we delete the footage? That's a crime. If Hillary actually deletes it, that's no crime. Certainly there'd be no prosecutor that would go after her for that. That's what Jim Comey told us. But Trump, you see, if he just thinks it, if he speaks it, it's a thought crime. And maybe we can put him behind bars for it. It says here, the department's also I think I read part of that. The next part. The same day the Justice Department added more charges to the Trump indictment, it dropped the campaign finance charge against Democrat mega donor Sam Bankman-Fried. Remember that guy? Yeah, he robbed, I think, millions of people. No charges there. Nothing. I mean, he's a big donor to the Democrat Party. He contributes to the communist regime. So we got to let him go free. No process crimes to worry about for him there. No, he just carries on. It says here, a Ponzi scheme. He's the CEO of the former multi-billion-dollar Ponzi scheme, FTX. He defrauded millions of people, many of whom were small-time, everyday investors. He can defraud millions. Trump, if he gets the date wrong on a box or asks a lawyer, can we just get rid of the security footage? He's going to jail. That's the American system of justice. That's where we are today. And meanwhile, you've got these mafia men, these gangsters, running the DOJ, running the FBI, running the White House. And the son, you know, the one that's just a private citizen, he's going around collecting the funds from abroad, from China, from Romania, from Russia, from Ukraine. This is from the Manhattan Contrarian. With every passing day, it becomes more and more clear that we have a president who has been for years and may still be, in simplest terms, on the take, using family members as fronts and the prerogatives of elected office as bait. He has presided over a bribe collection business that has leveraged U.S. foreign policy and foreign aid to rake in millions for the Klan, mostly or entirely from business interests aligned with the worst of our adversaries on the foreign stage. It says, in your wildest dreams, could you ever have imagined that the U.S. presidency could sink so low? Could you, in your wildest dreams, you can't make this up. You can't imagine the presidency sinking this low. It says here, and yet, even as the known facts become more and more definitive and the remaining potential defenses more and more implausible, there continues to be complete unanimity among senior Democrat Party office holders and their press supporters in the ongoing defense of the president. It says, is there any set of facts that could cause a few to break ranks? Is there any set of facts? Is there any evidence whatsoever that would maybe give them pause, that would maybe make them think, well, hang on a second, this is a crime family. This is a crime, it's a massive crime syndicate. Listen to the regime media as it goes on and on, criticizing Republicans basically for not moving on from the Biden crime family and all of this mounting evidence. Clip 9.
And the latest scene in a lurid national scandal, the Republicans' promise is far from over.
Republicans are making it clear they are not satisfied. They are calling on the judge to block that plea deal, insisting they will continue on with their investigations. So far, they have been not able to prove any evidence here of wrongdoing. But Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy, under immense pressure from the far right of his party, is now floating an impeachment inquiry.
Republicans on Capitol Hill are insistent that their investigations into the president's son, his business dealings, and its possible connections to Joe Biden are just beginning. Republicans not ready to move on. His political rivals have seized on it on the campaign trail. And back in Washington, House GOP members continue to try and link Hunter's business dealings to the president, though they have yet to produce any concrete evidence.
But at the end of the day, Hunter Biden has tried to accept responsibility. No Democrat, when Hunter Biden was indicted, said that we should burn down the rule of law and that the prosecution's rigged. We accept the outcome because that's how the rule of law works. That's not what you're seeing from Donald Trump.
Now, federal prosecutors in that hearing yesterday saying that their investigation continues. Now, it is important to keep in mind, while Republicans believe that there is a tie between Hunter Biden's business dealings and the president himself, they have yet to provide any hard evidence that the president himself has done anything wrong.
Notice their reporting on the Biden story is just what the way Republicans are reading the evidence. They are not interested in the evidence, not one bit. There is no evidence. As far as they're concerned, there's no evidence. And why won't the Republicans move on? This contrarian, Manhattan contrarian piece, the guy basically goes through and says, you know, we knew all this about Burisma and receiving the millions. The fact that he was getting paid $80,000 per month, we knew that in 2019. Now we're just seeing all the receipts. We know it even more today, but they've turned a blind eye to it since the beginning. In fact, if you go back to 2019, when we first had these revelations, what were they doing, the regime? They were impeaching Donald Trump because he encouraged Zelensky to, you know, you should look into this corruption. And Zelensky never did, but he sure got billions and billions and billions of dollars from the Biden crime family. From the Bidens. He's still getting it. All kinds of quid pro quos all over the place. Doesn't faze these talking heads. They're part of the regime. It's all narratives. Listen to this from Andrea Mitchell. She made the mistake talking to a congressman, she made the mistake of, you know, having kind of a parallel discussion about the Bidens and Trump. And she made sure to apologize at the end for ever bringing them up in the same conversation. Because, of course, it's not even comparable. What Trump, I mean, he's the crime boss. And, you know, he's drug addicted and the father loves the son and that sort of thing. As I played for you yesterday, here's clip four.
None of this that relates to Hunter Biden and his history of substance abuse and his plea deal and the District Court of Delaware relates to President Biden. All of the charges that have already been laid against former President Trump in other contexts and that may soon be further advanced by an indictment directly relates to the conduct of former President Trump, in this case, in office. Conduct that resulted in an armed gang assaulting the building that I am in here in the United States Capitol. So let's just be clear. One is about the conduct of a former president in office, and the other is about a private citizen, the son of the current president. There's a stark difference.
No, you are absolutely correct, and I should not have analogized those two things together in my haste. There's no question that they are of very, very different proportions. There's no comparison.
Coons tells like three or four flat-out lies in that little monologue, and then she comes back and apologizes for the way she set up the interview. How dare I bring Trump into a discussion about Hunter Biden? He said that Hunter is in no way related to what Joe Biden is doing. This is Nancy Mace commenting on the amount of money that was funneled into the Biden family through these shell companies. Clip five.
So you're saying the amount of money that the Biden family has taken in is north of $50 million based on what you've seen?
Oh, yeah. It's enormous. Incredible. It's mind-boggling that the DOJ, the FBI, the IRS has sat on their hands and done absolutely nothing when they've seen that kind of money flowing through dozens and dozens of shell companies, the bribes, the payoffs, the whistle, money laundering, the racketeering, everything that's been going on, and nothing, no one in that family has been held accountable, and it's wrong.
North of 50 million, she says. That's just what we know of thus far. $50 million? And a lot of it going to the big guy? And then these congressmen can get up in front of the cameras and say, yeah, Hunter's just a drug addict. Anything that he's guilty of, it's not connected to the big guy, Joe, at all. This is from Jim Comer. He was on with Ted Cruz explaining how many red flags there were with the finances that were being laundered, the money being laundered into the Biden family. Clip one.
A suspicious activity report is when the bank files notice with the Treasury Cabinet that they suspect their client has committed a crime. Doesn't mean they committed a crime. They have a strong suspicion that a crime was committed, so it's to protect the bank as well.
So how frequently do these things happen?
Very seldom, despite what the Washington Post or in their defense of the Biden, they say, well, everybody has a suspicious activity report. That is baloney. I was on a bank board for 10 years. I think we issued two.
And how many were issued concerning Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and the Biden family?
Over 170. If you had two SARs against you, it would be hard for you to open an account somewhere. There wouldn't be any bank that would want to have you as a customer because it's not worth the paperwork.
What is it that makes you say we got to file a SAR?
A large transaction that comes out of the blues. This account never had much activity in it over the course of 10 years, maintained around a $40,000 or $50,000 balance. Then one day, out of the blue, they get a $3 million wire from China. Of course, the next day, they start wiring incremental payments to different Biden shell companies. Okay, those were suspicious activity reports that were created by Joe or Hunter Biden. Then they were the subject of another 100 suspicious activity reports.
So that's 270 if you're counting individually.
At least.
And this is from multiple banks. It's
yes,
not just
multiple banks. Banks you've heard of. J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, U.S. Bank. These are Bank of
Big
America.
Big banks.
Like, know what
and they
doing.
Knew who they were. They said this is a politically exposed person. They suspected some of these wires were coming from state-owned entities. They said that from some of the
Chinese. Okay, so you're going to explain that,
mean
what
like
that
the
means.
Communist government.
Yes.
Is sending the money.
Yes. according to JP Morgan.
And the whistleblower in that scenario is the bank.
So they just create these fake companies.
And how many are we talking about?
20.
20?
20.
So 20 different Biden fake companies. They don't have factories.
No.
They don't have machinery.
They don't have real estate products.
They don't have real estate.
They don't have a business card. They don't have employees.
They don't have a storefront. They have nothing.
If the Hunter Biden was doing something legitimate for China, they could have just wired the money to Hunter Biden, but they didn't. They sent it to a company called Robinson Walker. Then they wired it to a company called Owasco. Then they wired it to another company called Bohe something or another. And then they start.
And do these companies do anything with it?
Nothing.
It's just like a bucket to pour the water in, then you pour it in another place and pour it somewhere else.
That's exactly what it is. And it was organized. This is like organized crime.
Happens all the time, I guess, if you listen to the regime media. Suspicious activity reports. I mean, who hasn't? Who hasn't been reported on from a major bank to the feds for all of this suspicious activity going on in bank accounts and shell companies? Shell companies that have no products to offer, that have no storefront anywhere. Just a way to, like he says there, if you're providing a legitimate service, even if it is to the CCP, and if it's lawful, then why not just get the money direct from the CCP? No, they have to launder it, you see. That's part of the organized crime. That's how you sneak it in. That's how it goes untaxed. That you spread it around then. You give the big guy his 10% or whatever. Everyone was on the take. At least 9 Biden family members. 9! And the media are saying, why won't the Republicans move on from this? Why? How come they won't let this go? There's nothing to see here. Nothing happened. Speaking of the $3 million from China, as Jim Comer explained there, listen to what Joe Biden said back in 2020, number 2.
My son has not made money in terms of this thing about, what are you talking about, China.
China, no money from China, and he didn't talk to his son about any of his business dealings. Never once. That's what he was saying back then, as he was trying to lie his way to the presidency and got a little help from millions and millions of fake ballots along the way. A basement candidate. Barack Obama's puppet, for sure. And getting away with all of this treason. Sellouts on the take. And then Jack Smith comes along yesterday, and it's perfectly timed. Look, this is getting pretty bad. What's being revealed about the bank accounts and what's being revealed about the plea deal. So we gotta make sure everyone understands that this investigation into Trump, it's ongoing. This is from National Review. It says, ordinarily, the provisions of a plea agreement are in the four corners of the plea agreement. In other words, on the plea agreement. Ordinarily, they are quite standard. Ordinarily, they are set out in crystal clear terms. Ordinarily, they don't undercut what is supposed to be an investigation into more serious matters. But everything about this was different because ordinarily, the Department of Justice isn't acting to protect the President of the United States from a politically sensitive investigation into his son's corrupt business dealings. It says here, since plea deals are usually above board, judges typically approve them without any fuss. Clearly, DOJ was hoping that would happen here and everyone could go home happy. Hunter would have gotten his immunity and the DOJ would have granted it without anyone noticing, all the while pretending to still be seriously investigating his influence peddling. In the normal course of things, it says, there'd be an underlying indictment, but the DOJ never filed one. No indictments for Hunter. I mean, with Trump, I mean, there's 2 more coming. And then they're adding counts to the 37-count indictment. But with this, they quietly agree to the plea deal. There were no underlying indictments that even showed what he did wrong. Nothing. Just a plea deal where he gets a slap on the wrist for tax misdemeanor charges and then gets immunity for anything else, whether in history or in the future. Talk about a sweetheart deal. It says, from its perspective, it is likely that there were 2 problems with an indictment. That is, why no underlying indictment with respect to Hunter? It says, one, the indictment would involve setting out a damning set of facts embarrassing to the president. So we can't have that. And then two, it would freeze the clock on the statute of limitations for any other criminal offenses related to Hunter Biden's foreign work. They've got work in quotes. Rightfully, preventing DOJ from simply running out the clock. It says the Washington cliche is that it's the cover-up, not the crime. In this case, it might be both. It is both. All of these crimes, and then all of them covered up. Covered up, or in the case of weak Republicans, maybe they're exposing some of the detail of all this corruption, but they're certainly not strong enough to punish the criminals. Can't do that. McCarthy just turned the House loose on a 2-month vacation. At this time? Time for summer break, I guess. No time to consider the impeachment inquiry, as he said the other day. And even he's backing away from that. And then you've got all these senators, Mitch McConnell and company, saying, you know what, I think we need to distance ourselves from all this impeachment talk. Let's not go there. That's the way the other side behaves. Well, that's for sure. They'll create an impeachment proceeding out of thin air. Adam Schiff did it. This is from Sundance. Evidence in public shows the sitting president of the United States, took payments from foreign business interests in a scheme to use the power of the U.S. government to influence foreign government policy and protect, enhance the business interests of the people who paid him. To wit, the Republicans in the House of Representatives have thousands of Joe and Hunter Biden bank records, hundreds of trace records for wire transfer statements and payments, hundreds of reported U.S. Treasury suspicious activity reports, as many as 270, as you just heard, thousands of emails and subpoenaed text messages, audio and video recordings, thousands of photographs, access to the laptop of Hunter Biden, and all the content therein, documented witnesses to the activity, testimony under oath, corroborating how the Bidens collected tens of millions from foreign nations as unregistered foreign agents, which was subsequently laundered through 20 shell companies. Republicans have all of that, or access to all of that. Republicans in the House, and they have a majority. Yet listen to Rand Paul. He's a senator, of course, but he speaks for a lot of Republicans in that body. He said this about impeachment yesterday, clip 3.
Is I think we should be better than the Democrats. The Democrats immediately rushed to impeachment without hearings, this and that. I think there needs to be continued investigation, because I don't really want to impeach every president that comes forward. I think the Democrats set a terrible precedent in impeaching Donald Trump just because they didn't like him, basically. And both of their impeachments fell flat and made them look, I think, terrible. But I think it's not good for the Republic to keep impeaching presidents and indicting presidents. Yeah. All of this stuff is destructive.
It's not good for the Republic to have impeachment proceedings. Is it good for the Republic if the crime family at the top is taking in $50+ million and selling U.S. policies to the CCP in China? Is that good for the Republic? We're going to be better than the Democrats. You just heard that from Rand Paul, of all people, that we don't want to go where the Democrats went. We're better than them. So we're not going to impeach. It doesn't matter what the crime family gets away with. These people have a constitutional obligation to impeach. They have an obligation, constitutionally, to rein in a rogue presidency. They won't do it because they're cowards. They're going on vacation. It's unbelievable. So much for winning the majority and now going on offense. No. Still play some good defense. Maybe, you know, go push a little bit, poke or prod a little bit. But, you know, we don't want to go too far with all of this evidence of wrongdoing. Sundance says, lastly and most recently, the Republicans have a transparently corrupt federal plea agreement rejected as presented by U.S. District Court Judge Noriega because the intent of the construct was to protect the son of the President of the United States from legal exposure within the business that provided the material wealth for himself and the family of the president, providing immunity for their Foreign Agent Registration Act violations. Republicans have all of this. They've seen all of this. They've seen the plea agreement blow up in the face of the Bidens this week. But it's time for summer break. Maybe we can talk about impeachment or just inquire about it in a couple months. How about that? It says here, and the Republican Speaker of the House is letting the Republican-controlled Congress go on vacation for the next 2 months. All of this, he repeats, while the former Republican president and current 2024 election frontrunner is being railroaded by the same Department of Justice the Speaker refuses to confront. What does it say in 2 Kings chapter 14? It says, There's no helper for Jeroboam. The goal, the aim of this fundamental transformation is to blot out even the name of Israel. And God says there, he's going to intervene to save Israel temporarily. But there's no helper, and you can certainly see that. I mean, and that said, though, I'm going to get into the exposure of these many law-breaking efforts, schemes, plots. It's being exposed, as I've said earlier this week, because God wants it to be exposed. But again, to get more on this subject, that prophecy in 2 Kings 14, make sure that you call our operators today and request America Under Attack, the 800 number, if you live in the United States, Canada, or the Caribbean. It's 1-866-930-3024. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, send us a note, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
What did the plea deal blow up mean to you today, Brett?
Jesse, thanks for having me on. I'll tell you, the first thought I had was deception and arrogance on both sides. You saw the arrogance and the deception on Hunter Biden's team in attempting to try to, you know, remove something from the record that might be damaging by pretending to be associated with the congressional oversight hearing and the evidence that came out. You had the arrogance and the deception of the prosecutor. I think they got caught, Jesse. I think there were two plea deals in this case. I think there was the one on paper, and there was the one that they had worked out and done verbally, where the prosecutor had said, look, this will be the end of it. We'll just do this, plead to this. He'll not do any jail time and we'll be done. And what got in the way of all that arrogance and all that deception was just a simple judge asking questions she was supposed to ask and getting to the bottom of this sweetheart deal.
The two things that stand out to this commentator, arrogance and deception. And yet there's people in Congress that just simply won't stand up. No wonder they're getting railroaded. They won't stand up to it. We had an article years ago on confrontational leadership. In fact, it's part of our leadership course here at Armstrong College. I mean, sometimes as a leader, you have to be willing to confront. Now, Donald Trump will do that. And that's why the opposite side hates him so much, because he won't back down. He confronts them. He exposes their evil. Arrogance and deception. Who's behind that? You think about, read Isaiah 14. Read about Lucifer. Read about his pride, his arrogance, and how that he wanted to put his throne even above God's, his maker. All that pride, all of that arrogance, that comes from the devil. It certainly does. Look at this pride and arrogance on display yesterday as well. Clip 7.
I think the Republican desire to impeach someone, anyone, no matter whether there's any evidence, just shows how they have descended into chaos.
Let me applaud you, Adam Schiff, whose name is synonymous with courage, with patriotism, with restoring the faith of the American people in our government.
Adam Schiff's name is synonymous with arrogance and deception. 5 weeks ago, just 5 weeks ago, he was censured in the House for promoting the Russia-Trump collusion hoax. Did it for years. He gets censured, but hey, he takes it as a badge of honor. It's coming from those dirty Republicans, after all. So he lies. Remember all the things he said about, I've seen the evidence. I have witnessed it. I was down in the skiff. I saw it. It's going to be made known. It's going to be made public. And everyone's going to know that there was Trump-Russia collusion and that Trump stole the 2016 election. The evidence never did turn up. But did that stop the regime media from breathlessly reporting it for years? They still do in some cases. A lot of them still haven't abandoned the hoax. Trump, Russia. That, what you just saw there, whether it's from Schiff himself, who can't believe the Republicans would even consider impeaching. What you just heard from Schiff, what you heard from Nancy Pelosi, that is deception and arrogance on full display. We had an article at The Trumpet a couple years ago, September 2021. The proud shall be made low. That's what your Bible says. So, I mean, there is a heartening message in the midst of all of this. That arrogance, that vanity, that pride, that haughty spirit, it is going to be brought down low. This is from that article. It's by Joel Hilliker. It says, of all the plagues in today's world, one of the greatest is the arrogance of our leaders. The arrogance. You see it in their handling of the coronavirus pandemic, in America's disastrous evacuation of Afghanistan, in crisis after crisis. I mean, this is a two-year-old article, but it's just as applicable today. It says, despite making major and even fatal errors, our leaders simply won't acknowledge their mistakes. They won't acknowledge them. It's purely about will worship. If I say it, whether it's Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, If they say it, then it's the truth. Doesn't matter if they're exposed as liars. Doesn't matter if they were censured 5 weeks ago. Just keep on going forward arrogantly and try to destroy the other side. Try to blot them out. Go. If it's got 37 counts, this indictment, add three or four more. Let's let everyone know that this is getting worse, what Trump did with the boxes. It says here, these leaders are creating a wasteful, dangerous, unjust, corrupt mess. I mean, that's a perfect description of what Joe Obama has created in the past 2.5 years. It says, yet in the face of clear evidence, they carry on undeterred. This is arrogance on an epic scale. What would it take for these people to acknowledge that what they have done is disastrous? What would it take? Or as that one journalist said, you know, what would it take for one of these Democrat observers or someone in the regime to actually break ranks and say, no, I think what the Bidens were doing was unlawful. I think they were violating a lot of laws, at the very least, a FARA violation. Money funneling in through shell companies that provided no service or goods whatsoever. Yeah, just funneling in because of what the big guy was deciding with Obama's approval in the White House. That's right. It says here, the train is careening off the tracks and they keep accelerating. Their arrogance has made them uncorrectable. But as Mr. Hilliker writes here, the sins of our leaders and of all our people will catch up to us. And we're seeing that to some degree with the Biden crime family. The sin, again, Obama does a pretty good job of going through, navigating all the way through all this unscathed. He was the president when the money was pouring in to the Biden crime family. His DOJ, headed up by a man of integrity, to make sure that the people in Washington were people of integrity. Jack Smith, he was right there. And the money just flowing in right under his nose. Hubris is an excellent description. It means exaggerated pride or self-confidence. It says this sin is surely and rapidly destroying America's power. The sin of vanity, of pride, the sin of just deception and arrogance, as that commentator said on Jesse's show. Listen to, I've been meaning to play this for a week and a half now. This is from Robert F. Kennedy. He's challenging Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's challenging Joe Biden on the Democrat ticket. And he said this in testimony, I think sometime last week, clip 11.
Trusting the experts is not a function of science. It's not a function of democracy. It's a function of religion and totalitarianism, and it does not make for a healthier population.
Trusting in the experts does not make for a healthier population. Trusting in the experts is not a function of science. It's not a function of democracy, he said. It's a function of religion and totalitarianism. Paul, even in 1 Timothy 6, calls it science, so-called, falsely so-called. It's not science. This is a religion. Just trust us. Trust what Fauci says. Trust what Adam Schiff says. Trust what all these radicals say. And like I said at the top, you can find the quote on page 118 in America Under Attack. The devil knows well. He knows well that most people aren't going to dig into the details on any of these stories. So let's just try to make it simple for them. Trump is Hitler, and the Biden crime family, there's so much love there. The father loves Hunter. Okay, he had some trouble with drugs and prostitutes, but Joe loves him. Why won't the Republicans move on? And then you see so many people deceived. Deception and arrogance. Proverbs 6, verse 16, it says, these six things, I think this is 16 through 19, these six things does the eternal hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue. See, arrogance and deception. God hates this. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, and then a false speaker that speaks lies and that sows discord among brethren. These are things God really hates. And you see it all around this article by Mr. Hilliker. Again, it says, God hates our pride, our deceit. He hates how we invent things out of our own deceitful human hearts that inflict suffering on others. These things directly contradict the attitude of humbly submitting to God and His perfect law of love. And then he quotes you this verse. This too is from the Proverbs, Proverbs 8 and verse 13. It says, the fear of the eternal is to hate pride. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. God really does despise arrogance and deception. And so he says, you know, I'm going to expose this. It's just going to keep unraveling. Never mind what the Republicans in the House won't do now that they're on vacation. Never mind what they should be doing. But more is going to continue coming out. More is going to be revealed. God will see to it that this family, that this government, that this swamp is exposed for what it really and truly is. It says here, why are human beings so drastically, illogically, self-destructively inclined? Where does this thinking come from? We'll conclude with this. It came from a being who was living in an awesome, peaceful, perfect, God-governed environment, but who became convinced in his own mind that he had a better way. Lucifer's efforts to make things better based on his own ideas resulted in universal cataclysm. He thought he had a better way, and it was based on his arrogance, his ideas. He worshiped his ideas above God. He worshiped the will, his own will, above his own maker. And that same will worship, you can study more into that in Colossians 2. We've got a Colossians booklet to go together with that study if you'd like. The 800 number, let me just give it to you one more time, 1-866-930-3024. Call our operators. Everything we offer on this program, we offer without cost or obligation. We cover the cost for the printing. We've put together the material, obviously. We've covered the cost for production, and we cover the cost for shipping as well. So if you don't have America Under Attack or our Colossians booklet, you can, of course, get to all of our literature at our website, thetrumpet.com, as well. But if you'd like hard copies to put them in your library, please do call our operators today and order any of these publications I mentioned. So Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 talk about Lucifer and his rebellion against his maker. He became Satan the devil. And the Bible says that that devil, he's still sitting on the earth's throne. He's still the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Now, he knows his time is short. Revelation 12 brings that out. But that's why he's filled with wrath. That's why we see so much arrogance and deception. Because the devil knows his time is about out. He knows his time is short. He knows he's about to be dethroned. He knows he's about to be removed. You can read about it in Revelation 20. And even before that, where it talks about Christ returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's a new government that's about to rule this earth. God's hands-off policy is about to end. I mean, he is very hands-on when it comes to his work and preaching the warning, the gospel warning that this world desperately needs. But in another way, I mean, he's had a hands-off policy to just show us, to help us see where this spirit of the devil ends, the pride, the vanity, the arrogance, the deception, how that it leads us to destruction. But be assured, as Mr. Hilliker says there, the sins of our leaders and of all our people, they will catch up to us. If you're thinking straight, if you're humbling yourself before the mighty hand of God, then you can begin that process now of putting away sin and coming out of this world. 2 Corinthians 6 says that if you do that, God will receive you as his own children. That's all we have time for on today's show, unfortunately. We certainly appreciate you joining us. And you're listening to, kind of forgot what I needed to say here at the end. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. That's my name. This is the Trumpet Daily, and we'll certainly look forward to seeing you again next time.